2 million years ago is right around the time when scientists think the first members of our genus, Homo, evolved. But the fossil record so far has been very limited, especially at around 2 million years ago, meaning there are a lot of questions about what our genus Homo evolved from. Now, in a paper in this week's Science, Lee Berger and colleagues report their discovery of a new species of hominid right around that 2-million-year-old mark, Australopithecus sediba, which the researchers say may be the Rosetta Stone that unlocks our understanding of the genus Homo. I spoke with Berger from his home in South Africa, and I began by asking him about the condition and completeness of the two fossilized skeletons he and his team describe.
They're in extremely good condition. In fact, almost unprecedented condition. The bone surfaces, all the muscle details are preserved there. As far as completeness is concerned, both of the skeletons sit at about 40% completeness, give or take, depending on whether you count ribs and such as that. But they're at about 40% completeness, and complete in different ways. The child, the holotype of Australopithecus sediba, has almost complete skull and mandible. And then the rest of the skeleton, obviously, because it's a juvenile, the epiphyses, the growth centers, aren't fused. The female is remarkably complete down her left arm in a way that we've just never seen in an early hominid. We have, for example, the entire shoulder girdle, all the way down the right arm to the tips of the fingernails, and then down through the hip, the pelvis, and then down into the elements of the lower limb and foot.
And from the find, what kind of environment did sediba live in?
That's a good question, and, you know, it's early days on that. One thing I can tell you is that we will learn what environment they lived in because it's a moment in time. That analysis is still underway. What we can tell you at this relatively early stage is that it is a wooded environment with a lot of browsers in the presence of these hominids.
Okay. So based on the shape, the morphology of the fossils, then what previously described species is closest?
Well, it's also a good question because I think that you would have to say that it's pretty much equally close to two species that have been described. We're kind of equidistant, it appears, between Australopithecus africanus. It appears to be a daughter species of that or something very much like that. But we're also remarkably close to some of the earliest members of the genus Homo. More particularly, though, not all of them, more particularly those that have been assigned to things like Homo erectus or Homo ergaster, things like that. The face is very reminiscent of the Turkanaboy. But the body is something, a complete mix of characters. The arms are incredibly long. In fact, they have what's called a brachial index, which is the forearm length relative to the humeral length, approximately that of an orangutan. So it's extraordinary long arm. The pelvis and legs, though, are much more derived. They're much more like what you would expect to see in something like Homo erectus. So a real mix of traits.
It sounds as if there were potentially several different species that were mosaics between earlier hominins and the Homo genus. What in particular makes this a new species?
Well, this is in a critical time period, which there is actually almost no fossil record for. We have a relatively good fossil record older than 2.1 million years for the hominids, and we have a okay fossil record, at least in South Africa, under about 1.6 million years or so. It's this period between sort of 1.8, 1.9 million, going into 2 million, that has really been almost a black hole. We have literally just a few dozens of fossils in that temporal period. And so these fossils are filling a really crucial gap where we don't have a lot of evidence. What makes them a new species? Well, surprisingly, almost everything about them. We've never seen this combination of traits in any one hominid, a very small brain, yet a brain case that's shaped like much later hominids. The brain's as small as very early Australopithecines, but it's shaped like something like a Homo erectus or a Homo habilis type brain. It's got a very advanced face. There's a nose. It's got small dentition, and the anterior teeth are very advanced. It's got long arms, though, long ape-like arms, primitive wrists, and short but powerful and curved fingers. And yet, surprisingly, a pelvis that is clearly evolved for a form of facultative bipedalism, walking on the ground in very much the way we do or Homo erectus would have, and long legs. Those kind of combinations have never been seen in any hominid. In fact, it's sort of a mixture between much later hominids and much earlier hominids.
So what, if any, insight does this discovery of Sidiba provide into the origin of our own genus, Homo?
Well, I think that, you know, it's the opinion of my colleagues and I that Sidiba may very well be the Rosetta Stone that unlocks our understanding of the genus Homo. There has been, as you're probably aware of, a muddle in the middle, if you will, between about 1.6, 1.7 million years, back to 2 million, where we've had some candidates for the origin of genus Homo, Homo habilis, Homo rudolfensis, as well as a few others, but their morphologies have never quite fit perfectly, or the evidence has been very, very small for those species. Now we're looking at a species in that time gap that's carrying a morphology and preservation that really is unprecedented. And I think that over the next months, years, and decades, as these fossils are analyzed and compared to everything else, we're going to find that we may be able to unlock the origin of the genus Homo and really get a good understanding of what happened in that transition between early Australopithecines, like Lucy-like species, like Mrs. Ples, these type of things, and the first direct ancestors of ours, say something like the Turconoboy, Homo ergaster, Homo erectus.
So why not the genus Homo?
You know, one of the things that we did is we had to make a decision. Is this early Homo, or is it an Australopithecine? And, you know, a lot of people would say that naming a genus is just semantic at that point, you know, that it's an argument. But we actually do feel that these fossils are so complete and so remarkable in their combination of traits that we might actually be, at some stage, able to define the genus Homo based upon Australopithecus sediba. And so we chose to go with putting it in the genus Australopithecus because Sidiba doesn't have the whole package. If you look at Homo erectus is basically us with a small brain. And it shares those features other than the small brain with Neanderthals, with Homo sapiens, and with some of the archaic Homo sapiens. Sidiba is so close in the face and the form of the skull, but it has a small brain. It has some characters of the posterior dentition that say it's primitive, but most critically, it has those long arms. It's still climbing trees. And so our argument is that it hasn't made that grade level shift to the genus Homo. And so now, for the first time, we can tell you what it is when something isn't Homo. It's going to not have the whole package. And that's part of the subtle argument we're making.
Lee Berger, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Lee Berger of the University of Witwatersrand is lead author of a paper on Australopithecus sediba, a new species of Homo-like Australopith. Berger is also senior author of a paper on the geological setting and age of sediba. Find both papers and a related News of the Week story by science contributing correspondent Michael Balter in this week's issue and online at www.sciencemag.org/extra/sediba. That's SEDIBA.